The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts.
Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
And welcome to Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Hey, new music.
New music,
AC Riley. That's some of that Triple H.
Well, it's our time now.
It's our time. Nice. It's time for Grapple Talk, our summer edition. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by Jesse Von Ruden and AC Riley. And a huge show today, guys. And it's historic.
It's
going to be in textbooks. It's going to be in dictionaries for no reason whatsoever, because dictionaries don't hold any sort of historical information besides words. But we have our first ever female spotlight in the squared circle, and you're not going to want to miss this one. It's going to be a great show.
Definitely not want to miss it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. But as we do every single week, we start off the show talking about the shows coming up this weekend. And AC Riley, why don't you start us off, man?
Upcoming shows.
Well, you know, we started things off. We're not doing it on the weekend. We're starting off on a Thursday show.
Word?
Because it is the 4th of July weekend. And starting things off this Thursday, which is the 3rd, the day before Independence Day.
Hey.
Badlands Original Wrestling's Assault at the Armory. A lot of shows going on at Legions this weekend, for the record.
Makes perfect sense.
So we got this show. It's in North Dakota. This is, I think, one of the first shows that we've covered in the North Dakota area. So if
we're
around there, go say hello.
We're expanding.
It's at the Beer Garden by Legion Post number 115. That's on the corner of 12th Street and 4th Ave, if you're putting it down in your GPS. We're going to see a title match. We're going to see Livewire. He's on Grapple Talk. He's defending he's going to be defending his belt against Hotshot Danny Duggan. We're also going to see guys like Ash Aubrey making his debut, Josh Price, Bolt Brady. We're going to see a lot more than that, because obviously
that'd be like five guys.
Obviously, that's like five guys.
Five guys, burgers, and fries.
I'm sure they're going to have a lot more. Five guys, burgers, and fries.
Yeah.
Nice restaurant, by the way.
Great.
Showtime at 6 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults. Kids under 12 are just $5. That's half price. Details on their Facebook page. You just got to go there. Facebook.com/Badlands Wrestling. That's what's going on Thursday. What's going on Friday? Just kidding. What's going on Saturday?
Well, what's going on Saturday would be MCW Stars and Stripes Sizzler.
Ooh, a Sizzler!
It's going to be Saturday, July the 5th at the American Legion on 59990 South
Main Street.
A lot
of nines. Real? How many nines is that?
That is actually three nines, okay, to be sure about that. It's in Three Rivers, Michigan. Of course, we're going to see the UIWA Michigan State Champion, Keith Calhoun. That's if he actually retains off the fourth.
Hey, yeah.
Taking on Preston Burchill in a flag match. Very
nice.
Patriotic.
Hey.
Of course, we're going to see the International Light Heavyweight Champion, Christopher St. Michael, taking on Johnny Crisis.
We just saw Christopher St. Michael.
That we did. There will be a battle royal to determine the new number contender to the MCW Championship. Well, we'll find out who that's going to be sometime down the road. Also, on the card will be Ian Rotten, Anarchy Ash Aubrey, Brutus Owen Wesker, Fallout Ace Bradley, and J-Dog. Plus, you know, Three Rivers' own Mike Musso.
Oh, nice.
Of course,
that card.
Bell time's going to be at 7. Tickets are 8 for adults and 5 for kids, 6 and under.
See, one thing I want to brush up to is that in this title match on Thursday, whoever wins that match is going to have a busy weekend. So, for example, Livewire defends the belt. That's who he's facing. Whoever is this Battle Royal winner.
Hmm.
If Danny Duggan wins it, he could have the shortest reign in history, because he could literally lose the belt 2 days later. You never know.
That really just blew my mind. I'm not even sure what you guys are talking about. But what I do know we're talking about is a show that's actually coming up the following weekend on Saturday, July.
We haven't done this in a while.
It's Saturday, July 12th. We're just making sure everybody knows. It's is it N-O-W or is it
N-O-W.
N-O-W Now. Summertime Brews the 3rd. Now, it's presented by Stockpile Games in association with Lawn Works and James Flowers. So, thank you, James Flowers, for helping out. It's going to be at the Saucy's Sports Bar in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And what you're going to be seeing if you head on down to Manitowoc is now champion Michael Wayne putting the title on the line against Seth Gambino, so there's no shortage of action there. Now tag team championships will also be on the line as the Inside Outsiders take on an opponent that hasn't been announced yet. So there's a surprise there. Could it be you, AC Riley? You've gone wild.
It could be.
Could it be me and Jesse Von Ruden?
Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, no. That's not going to be us.
Nope.
Also, the WWD U.S. Champion, Gorgeous Jordy Lee, will be putting his title on the line against another opponent that hasn't been announced. So could it be you, AC Riley? Could it be me or you, Jesse?
No,
it's not going to be us or that one either. Also going to be there is Homeless Tyler Jackson, Porn Stash Peter Schwanz, TW3 Crazy Kippy Carter, and a lot more. Admission is free, so you know, as we always talk about in these shows, you know, what was that last show or the show before that where we talked about admission?
We talked about that last week.
Yeah. That weeks are kind of blending together. Well, this show, it's free, so I mean, there's no reason to miss this show. Doors open at 6. Their meet and greet is at 6:30, and bell time is at 7. So you don't have to pay any more for the meet and greet because it's free. So you're paying more of your, you know, with your time, I guess. Is that
what, well, basically, it seems like it's going to be one of those. It's not so much a show, it's more as like a get-together.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get there, and you're going to see a lot of great wrestling action, but you're also going to be able to meet all the competitors
right
before the show. So it's almost like on a first-name basis
right
instead of just like, hey, you jerk.
Which is actually kind of cool, too, because I always thought that was interesting, because if you actually are able to meet a lot of the guys on the card, you almost... You don't build a relationship with them, but you kind of do, because then it almost gives you a reason to cheer for them. Like, you know, you're going to a show where you might not know a lot of guys, and then you go meet them, you're like, I like this guy. I'm going to cheer for this guy. And that's kind of how that works. So that's pretty cool. That's now NOW Summertime's Brews the Third in Manitowoc. Not this weekend, but the following Saturday, July the 12th.
And this is the show that when we had Nathan Gust on, he was talking about. He was getting really excited for this in Nathan Gust style.
That
so
was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. That's why I thought, you know what? It's been a while, so let's bring it up, and let's get people hyped for this, because
right
it's going to be a lot of fun, because you got a lot of guys on there that always put on one hell of a performance.
We all love fun.
And, you know, admission is free, which is like, why aren't you going there?
Exactly. Well, talking about why aren't you going there, July the 4th is coming up, guys, and we have a
nice
huge
cutaway.
We have a huge show coming up on July the 4th.
Massive.
So, massive. it's larger than life, and it really has been, according to social media lately, because I'll tell you what, there has been so much hype about this show that you're not going to want to miss it. It's CWA taking on SWE. It's a Battle of the Feds show. What actually kind of started out, it seemed kind of like it was, you know, like I saw, I believe that was who's it was somebody's promo. I watched like 8 of them today. But it was, you know, it kind of started out as a friendly competition, and now it's turned into this bad blood brewing kind of thing. That's going to be July the 4th at Veterans Memorial Park in Hartford, Wisconsin. There's a ton of matches going on, guys. We have a lot to discuss. We're going to talk about this show here for just a little bit because it's on July 4th. What you need to know is that bell time is going to be early. It's at 4 p.m. Admission is free, and you can always get your details on either Facebook page of Supreme Wrestling Entertainment or Championship Wrestling Alliance. And, guys, a crazy amount of matches. Jesse, which match are you looking most forward to?
You know, that's actually a really good question. I'm going to go with an answer that you guys aren't really expecting, and that's going to be Judge Jesse taking on El Vato.
Ooh.
Judge Jesse representing SWE, El Vato, CWA. Now, the really cool thing about CWA and SWE is very much CWA kind of spurred off of SWE last year. And, of course, we were at the 4th of July show when it was CWA last year. And they've kind of come together for this partnership. But as you guys already said earlier, this friendly rivalry has turned into bitter blood. And I think AC Riley can attest to that, because you have been probably involved in what I have to say, one of the most personal feuds in this whole show, and that's against Revelation.
Oh, I can attest to that, my friend.
Oh, I bet.
I can attest to it.
Very well, attest to it then, because I passed you the ball, and now you just dropped
here,
it.
You want to do a promo now, or you want to cut a promo?
No, I don't feel like I want to do a promo, because a lot of these promos have been going pretty long, and, you know, we don't have that much time.
Oh.
But what I will say is, there's a lot of bad blood with us, and, you know, pretty much we've heard from everybody in the match except for Storm, which makes me kind of wonder what he's thinking about. And Storm is one heck of a competitor, so is Sexy KC. You've gone wild, just we got to put our A game on. Just,
yeah, I mean,
plain and simple.
I mean, I can really comment off that, too. I mean, you guys are, looking at the card and stuff, you guys definitely are the ones that hate each other the most, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, You know, you guys go way back pretty much, and it's been a feud boiling over for quite some time now. I mean, you know, your GF is getting involved. It's getting so bad.
Yee.
I mean,
it's
stuck
gone
baggage.
From no DQ matches to first blood. Now it's submission. AC Riley, you don't know any submission holds. I've never seen you really apply a submission hold besides an ankle lock. What the hell are you going to do in
this
match?
I applied submission holds.
Oh, like Cloverleaf, man. That was one of
the Cloverleaf. I did the last chancery on Connor Riley. Remember when I got in that feud with him? So I know plenty of submission holds.
You did the Horns of Aries, too, once.
That's the last chancery.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what it's called, my friend.
Okay, wow.
Oh.
Dropping the rest of the textbook knowledge.
I'm just calling it the last chancery, because if we say Horns of Aries like I just did, we might get sued.
if we're not going to get sued for our musical choices, I don't think we're going to get sued for some of the intellectual property right. that we're ripping off. But one of the biggest matches, I would just say, is, of course, it's going to be Chief Atakulakula, UIWA World Heavyweight Champion, defending against Devlin Kane.
Yes. This should be really interesting.
Now, guys, we've known Devlin Kane for years, and I'm going to go on the record and say this is probably the biggest match that he's ever had.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bar none. I mean, international attention on this match. And, folks, if you ever seen the movie Valhalla Rising, it's very much that. It's Vikings against Native Americans.
Oh, wow. That was a great... Yo, but here's the thing. You know, I'm not trying to break the fourth wall or anything, but, man, I'm actually really pulling for Devlin Kane. I mean, honestly, we've been on the road with this guy. We know him very well. We see him at a lot of shows. And you know what? I feel like there's not a lot of guys that have earned opportunities like Devlin Kane. I mean, man, he puts so much into, you know, who he is, his Viking persona, just the inside the ring. It's just his... He puts so much into that ring that it's like you're happy to see it. You know, it's going to be a huge matchup.
So I love Devlin Kane. He's without doubt one of my favorite competitors of all time.
Right.
You know, he's so good in the ring, and I can say that because I've been in the ring with him. And I just any time I go into a fight with him, I know it's going to be a fight because
right.
that dude loves to, you know, just tear it up. And you know, that's one thing. He's, you know, on Friday he won the North American belt. He, you know, cashed in that, taking it to the bank, you know, contract match. And one thing I'm really happy about is that I like now fans are going to start taking notice to the stuff that we've taken notice to, because some fans, they don't look at work ethic. They don't see, oh, he's a really good competitor. They see title belts.
Right.
So now Devlin Kane's holding a belt. People are going to start looking at him a lot more. They're gonna be like, oh, this guy is actually here to stay.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy he's got that plug. And on top of that, I mean, Chief Atakulakula, he's a great competitor. You know, we've seen him in Puerto Rico. He got both belts. He came back of them for a reason. He's a good competitor. He beat Chicky Starr. Now, on top of that, you know, he's getting all this notice from the States and Puerto Rico, and he's going to be wrestling against a guy like Devlin Kane, and that means that there's going to be a lot of eyes watching Devlin Kane. So I'm really pulling for him. I hope that he just pulls out all the stops and a lot of people take notice
right.
of what we see.
Right.
True, definitely. So, guys, I got to ask you. All right, so every week about this time, we always have some weird question we always got to ask. And I always got to get your guys' opinion on this. So this week, nicknames.
Nicknames.
What constitutes as a good nickname for a professional wrestler? I mean, we were looking at the list, like the Honorable Judge Jesse really fits that gimmick. What do you guys look for when you see a nickname in a guy? Like, should it describe him? Is it an inside joke? Like, what exactly are you guys looking for?
Okay, that's a pretty good question, Jesse. And you know,
wow.
I think I haven't really noticed. You don't really notice the nicknames as much unless you're like, I feel like when we're doing commentary or something, you say if there's a nickname that doesn't fit, you're kind of like, what the hell was that all about? That was a weird nickname. But
mm-hmm.
you know. Nicknames, I think, are kind of important because they kind of help describe your character to people that might not know them. Like, when you hear the Honorable Judge Jesse, it's almost like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. It fits with your character, like you just said. Or, you know, like, Shoeless Tyler Jackson, Pornstash Peter Schwanz. It kind of lets you know who you're going to be seeing on the card. Plus, you know, Pornstash, we call him Pornstash all the time. It kind of shortens the name a little bit, so that's kind of cool, too. But, you know, it helps out with their personas. You know, Gorgeous Jordy Lee, another nickname there. I mean, nicknames, I think, kind of help out with, you know, building a character by just having that name, and that's, you know, I think that's kind of what a nickname's purpose is.
So AC Riley, I mean, you don't have a nickname. When
I
you
don't have
out.
A nickname.
What would be a perfect nickname for AC Riley?
The Destroyer.
The Destroyer.
The Killer Guy.
The Killer Guy.
The Killer Guy.
I'm trying to think of plain nicknames because you're kind of plain.
I don't know. what's some of your favorite nicknames, AC Riley?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I think one of my favorite ones, I'm going to bring up Devlin Kane again. I really love when I hear the Bastard Son of Odin.
It's a good nickname.
How
really
badass is that?
That's super badass.
Because you got the Honorable, and you got, you know, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, those are pretty good. But you hear the Bastard Son of Odin.
Whoa. Well, you know, like Mace Morgan's the Alpha Dog. You got Joey the Jet Avalon. You got Tattooed Mark Preeby. I mean, some of these nicknames really describe people. It's almost like if you go on the level and you start watching like a lot of WWF and stuff like that, they like to brand all their guys with that nickname. I mean, one of the best ones, of course, is Stone Cold!
Stone Cold!
Like, you know who exactly he is when he comes out to that, like HBK, Heartbreak Kid. It's very simple stuff here.
Well, even if you broaden the horizons, mm-hmm. look at like UFC, you got like the Iceman, Chuck Liddell. You got, you know, I'm sure somebody is called the Assassin. You know, stuff like that. I mean, we know that Jared Jackson is the New Age Assassin, but I'm sure there's a UFC fighter.
Was there an old age, like assassin for a new age assassin?
The old time assassin.
The old time
assassin.
And
he comes out to like 1920 music. And
maybe he's the old time assassin, AC Riley.
Maybe. The old time assassin. You do it old school ways. No, but here's the thing I think about, which is kind of a different dynamic, because when you look at professional wrestling, how many of these names are given and how many of these names are, you know, self-made?
You know, that's probably a good question. I would say it's 70-30. I think it's maybe 70 made and 30 earned. I mean, it's one of those things where you're kind of sitting there and you're probably coming up with ideas for your nickname and how your character flows and stuff like that. It's like, I remember having a conversation with AC Riley this past weekend when we were coming back from Wisconsin Rapids, and I'm very much like, your character in the wrestling sense is very much like a blank piece in a coloring book.
Yes.
You have a plain outline. And it's up to you to fill in that outline. But sometimes people are going to always chime in with stuff. And that's when some of the best stuff really occurs.
Right, because that it almost helps you build the character that you're better at building, because that's how you are, I guess, personifying yourself to others. That's what the kind of feedback you get from others does.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to make sure it's very round, well-rounded character. You don't want Paper Mario, as much as fun as that game
Paper
was.
Great game.
Nice
you just don't want to be two-dimensional. You want to be full three-dimensional and have, I don't know, sense of self-worth, I guess.
You know, it's funny that we're talking about nicknames, because we've been talking a lot about marketing strategies for a lot of pro wrestlers. You know, we had music. Like, what does your music say about you when you hit the ring? What is that look? What is that gimmick look, you know, when you see that on a poster? So now we're seeing nicknames, because, I mean, that's really the other strategy of marketing, because that's what you'll hear on the radio. That's what you'll hear, you know, on text, on, you know, on paper. You know, it's very much the what happens when you can't hear the music and when you can't hear or you can't see what they look like.
Well, then if you want to go even a step further, if we talk about nicknames, I mean, tag team names are technically a nickname of that tag team, because it's not AC Riley and JJ Ryan. It's Youth Gone Wild. It's not Sexy KC and Storm. It's The Revelation. You know, it's not, you know, Mark Priebe and Joey Jet Avalon. It's Inkjet Express. And those kind of things help you, you know, if it was just you and J.J. Ryan, you wouldn't really have a basis for what you guys are really all about. But then you hear Youth Gone Wild, and you're like, oh, these guys must be crazy. They must be wild. They must be young. Well, J.J. Young, or J.J. Ryan, I guess, isn't the youngest guy in the back. But still, I mean, it helps you, you know, the revelation. It kind of, you know, it makes you go, oh, so, I mean, they're trying to change something. They're trying to do something. They're trying to bring something back. Like, that's kind of what I think nicknames help do. They almost help you envision. It's like reading a book. Like, we can almost use that analogy. It kind of helps you visualize something before actually seeing it.
What do you visualize when you hear Team Dick Smash?
Well, it's simple. Two dudes punching dicks. it's very much like, you know, if you're going to see a band, you know, bring that up. You hear the band name. You might not hear the music, but you hear the name. You're like, wow, that's brutal. Like,
right?
What the hell is that?
Right, you know,
yep. It's one of those things. So what about textbook AC Riley? Nah, that's a terrible nickname.
You're a dick.
But coming up next, folks, it's our Spotlight in the Squared Circle. It's a historic one. One bad bitch, Stacy Shadows, will be in the studio.
It's coming up, and it's going to be a historical day on Thursday, so we're going to leave you with some good old real American to get on your patriotic side. We'll be right back.
Actually, the 4th of July is on Friday.
Listening to Grapple Talk.
You have kids with muscular dystrophy. You disrespect America. And if you disrespect America, you can get out.
You can just get out.
Thanks for joining all summer long.
The door is right there. You get in your Subaru hatchback, and you turn it on, and you go in reverse, and you go down the road. You take one right, two lefts, and head north, and you get out.
Now it's time for a Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
This week is a very historic edition.
It's historic.
It's historic. We have our
textbooks.
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
It's going to be in one. It's going to be right after, I don't know, U.S. soccer losing in the World Cup. That's how historic this is going to be. We're actually on the line with Stacy Shadows this week. Stacy, how you doing?
I'm very good. How are you guys? doing mighty fine.
Hey, we're good.
We're always good.
We're always good.
See, Stacey, what's awesome about this? This is why it's going to be in historical textbooks. Excuse me.
Hopefully that baffles in history textbooks.
I'm so baffled.
It probably will be.
But I mean, we've had tons of guys on the show. We've never really had a female on the show.
We have actually never had one. It's not we've never really had one. We actually have never had one.
Well, some guys act like girls.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's why I'm saying that. But I mean, you're our first female guest on the Spotlight and Squared Circle. So how's it feel to be making history?
Wow,
it feels really good, and I'm actually really glad and honored that you guys actually chose me.
Well, we're glad to do it. And Stacey, for the people that maybe haven't heard about who Stacey Shadows is, can you give us a little insight of who you are?
Stacey Shadows started wrestling in June of 2008, made her debut in July of 2009, and I've been all over the Midwest since then.
Let's talk about who Stacey Shadows is. Where did you kind of come up with the inspiration of, I guess, who to make, base the character around?
Well, the character kind of had, like, a couple different things to it. I kind of started out managing Ryan Summers and Ian 12 Gauger, I think it was at the time. And they were known as the Chosen Ones, and that really didn't last too long. Those two kind of wanted to go off on their own and do single stuff. It was right in the beginning, for the three of us. That's kind of how we started out. And then for VCW, I was put in a faction with Dave Rydell, Ian Xavier, and Brandon Hayes, and I was Canadian. That lasted quite a while. But the actual character that I have now actually really started when I was managing Dysfunction and Chase McCoy, collectively known as the tag team Insane Evil.
Were you planning on getting in the ring at some point? Was that kind of what you had planned on, or were you just comfortably being outside the ring? How'd that work?
Well, I wanted to wrestle. That's all I wanted to do. And at the time, I don't think anybody really knew what to do with me because I was kind of the only girl around. So they weren't really sure if they wanted to put me against guys yet or not. So they just kind of started me on the outside of the ring.
So let's wind back a little bit, Stacey. So, you wanted to get into the wrestling business. You wanted to be able to wrestle. But everybody has that jumping off point. It's either that they were watching wrestling, they were watching a particular match. But I got to ask, when did it occur to you that you wanted to beat people up for a profession? Were you the school bully on the playground, or what was it?
Little A, little B, pretty much. The turning point for me, I think, I actually didn't really start telling people the real reason why I got into wrestling until, I think about a couple months ago. There's a few people that knew why, but not everybody knew, so I'd be glad to kind of shed some light on it. I was, wrestling as a kid, kind of got out of it in, my teenage years, and I didn't really get sucked back in until about, 2004, 2005, when I actually read Lita's book. And around then, I was kind of thrown around the idea. I kind of wanted to try it. I was really interested in doing it. And what happened was one of my best friends, who actually told me that he thought it'd be a great idea for me to do it, he was diagnosed with cancer. And so for the next 2 years, that's kind of what, all my friends and I had focused on. And what happened is he passed away in January of 2008. And for me to kind of, deal with that, because I really, at that point, he was my best friend for 10, 11 years, and I didn't really know what to do. So I started wrestling, which took my mind away from the grieving. It introduced me into a whole new group of people, and it was my way to move on, basically.
Well, it sounds like you lost basically a brother, and you found yourself into this strange brotherhood known as independent wrestling from that. Back to the conversation earlier with Nick, it always seems like you're the only female in very much a alpha dog type of surrounding setting type of thing. You're trained by Matt Winchester, Mike Mercury, Nick Colucci, and Shane Hills. Coming in with a lot of those roughnecks, I'm not going to lie. these guys would beat the living dog shit out of you. How was that intimidating?
Yes. Shane actually still jokes with me now because I always told him every Sunday on my ride home, I would, like, question myself, like, why am I doing this? I go here and I get the shit kicked out of me for, like, 5 hours. I'm not going to be able to walk normal until, like, Wednesday because my body hurts so bad. And then he makes fun of me because he always said to me, he goes, every Sunday when you left, I thought that was the last time I was going to see you. And then, sure as shit, there you are at my doorstep, 11 o'clock the next Sunday. But, yes, I got my ass handed to me for a good year and a half.
Well, you know, you talk about getting your ass handed to you, and, you know, definitely had a hard skin from all the beatings. And one of the monikers you get quite a bit is One Bad Bitch. And one thing that we got to ask is, does that nickname, when you first heard it, did it infuriate you or did it motivate you to really be a bad bitch?
It really motivated me because what would happen is at camps, like, they would like, the guys, they were all bigger than me. They were all, like, 6'3 to 6'5. You know, around, like, 230, 250, and, like, eventually I just got sick of getting beat up. Well, I just finally got up, and I'm like, okay, you know, you guys want to play? All right, you guys want to make me quit? Yeah, probably not going to happen. So I just started to fight back a little bit more, and then they started to lighten up. They're like, okay, now she's hitting me just as hard as I'm hitting her, and that sucks, so I'm probably going to back off a little.
Let's talk about that dynamic, because, you know, actually, Stacey, I saw you wrestle Chase McCoy in SWE a while back. You know, it was actually my match of the night. I thought it was fantastic. But I got to know, just because, you know, you have so many other matches against, you know, male wrestlers. You know, what's the dynamic between wrestling a guy versus wrestling, you know, a girl? Like, how does that really work out?
I don't know. It's so much more fun wrestling guys, because I can hit really hard and not feel bad about it. There are some girls that I will wrestle and I'll hit them, and then I can kind of see them, like, cower in the corner. And I'm like, okay, sorry, I was a little hard. You know, you can hit me back, you know, just as hard. It's not a big deal. You know, so definitely with the guys, it's a lot easier because I can hit harder, and it's easier for us to sell, I guess. With some of the girls, some of them, you know, think that I'm too snug or too stiff. So the girls like Melanie Cruz, they can handle that.
So let's add on to that. So what do you prefer doing? Do you prefer wrestling against the guys more, or do you prefer wrestling against the girls?
I actually prefer to wrestle the girls because that's the way that I'm going to get better is, you know, working more females and getting better along the way in the business.
You know, it's really funny, Stacey, because, you know, coming from the lacrosse area, we really don't see a whole lot of female wrestlers, not at all. You know, a couple times we would go to First Wrestling in Minneapolis, and we'd usually see the only indie female taking on a name because that was really the only competition. But then when we went over to the east side of Wisconsin, you know, we saw you, we saw Melanie Cruz, we saw a lot more females. So that, I think that's just what blew us away, is just seeing, oh my God, there's actually female competition over in this side of the state.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's definitely true. Because I had to say it, like, as Alex pointed out, there has definitely been an influx of indie women talent in the last, like, 5 years. We're kind of seeing that starting to crust a little bit, especially with Shimmer gaining so much popularity. Now, you were actually down there at their last taping. Stacey, I got to ask you, how was that experience?
Overwhelming. That's a lot of girls in that locker room. But it was amazing. Like, a lot of them that are there are the ones that I've been paying attention to since I started. So it's great to sit there and listen to them plan out matches. And, I mean, some of the Japanese girls, like, none of them speak any English. And I always wonder that, like, how on earth do you plan a match with someone that doesn't speak English? You know, so, like, I, you know, got a taste of that, and it was great. I ended up watching, I think it was, like, 42 women's matches in 2 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was great. I loved it.
You know, Stacey, we've been talking kind of about how successful you've been. I mean, it's been a pretty short period of time, too. If you debuted July 2009. It's been 5 years. I got to know, you know, just based on, you know, your rising success lately, you know, what kind of goals do you have in the biz? I mean, are they different than from when you first started out? You know, how's that working for you?
I think everybody kind of starts out with the same goal, you know, kind of making it and working for the biggest company in the world. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily realistic. For me, goals like working for Shimmer, you know, on a regular basis, they have, you know, shows twice a year. I would love to work for them both times. You know, and other goals for me is I would like to wrestle in other countries. I'd love to be in Japan. I'd love to be in Mexico. And I'd love to go all over the U.S. Those are my goals for Stacy Shadows.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, Shimmer Wrestling, I think we can all agree here at the table that, you know, it doesn't matter who you've maybe heard about. I mean, like, if I hear about a female from Japan, I may not see any tapes about her. But if I hear she's been in Shimmer, then you know to take notice because that's really one of the top feds for females. It's really the only female fed. Am I kind of right there?
Well, there is, you know, an increasing number of female feds coming up. Like, Shine is definitely one of them. And I believe it's Absolute Insane Wrestling, is it? Or is Intense, one of the two. They do an all-girls night as well. It's one of those things where it's really gaining in popularity. And it's really, I think, Stacey, you would agree, because we're finally seeing women getting empowered and actually going through the motions and chasing their dreams. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys named them all off. Like Shimmer's been around for quite some time. Like, Shine's coming around. I think another one is WSU, I think, that is coming around. So besides Shimmer, there is, like, a couple other all-women's promotions that definitely gives girls who are serious about the business, you know, more opportunities and more chances to wrestle.
You know, Stacey, I think we're actually running a little bit out of time here, but, you know, something I actually wanted to ask from the get-go, you know, I don't want to get too political here on this show, but, you know, I mean, you kind of are a minority, you know, in the wrestling world, especially here in Wisconsin. I mean, like AC Riley just said, you know, we don't see a lot of females, and if we do, they're wrestling a name or they're wrestling another male counterpart. I got to know, have you had any struggles or anything coming up in the business, you know, just being from that minority?
Yes, being taken serious is, you know, was a huge issue. Like, in the beginning when we talked before, like, you know, promoters didn't know what to do with me, so they just kind of put me as a manager. And, you know, that was one of the things where it's like, okay, like, you know, please, like, I beg sometimes, just give me a match, let me show you what I can do. And they're like, well, would you wrestle a guy? Yeah. You know, so that's kind of how it started. And, you know, like, that's just the thing, like, being taken serious and, you know, people doubting you is another thing, too. But working on overcoming all of that.
Well, you know, we were talking about seriousness in the wrestling business, and there's nothing serious than getting an injury. And one thing that we found out is that, you know, you experienced that injury to your leg about a year ago, I believe. Well, how did that feel, you know, only being 5 years in the business and having an injury that sidelined you for a while? You know, we talked to guys about, you know, how an injury, you know, took them out. You know, Matt Winchester was on.
And right.
He had the issues. We had John Campbell, who had the bad back.
Right.
So what was that like for you, knowing that you really couldn't compete, but you just kind of had to sit there on the sidelines and wait to get better?
It's nice to have a break, but then it's almost like you kind of go through withdrawals from it. You know, like sometimes, like, when I'll have a weekend off, it's like I'll be sitting at home and I just don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm so used to being on the road and traveling and, you know, eating garbage food and staying at somebody's house on the floor, you know? So, like, having an injury, like, it is tough, but me personally, I would never push it and always listen to the doctor, because the last thing I want to do is make a mistake and make me out more, you know, longer than I should be. So when I was out with a broken foot last year, I mean, after the surgery and I got the staples out and I was kind of cleared to kind of go around and, you know, do my thing, I went to every show that I possibly could still.
Well, Stacey, you know, it's definitely a marvel to see you get back, especially in a ring shape and fighting off that injury. I know you got 15 shows coming up in the next 6 weeks.
Wow.
But I got to ask you something definitely really serious. You're a huge metal fan. But I gotta know, when did you realize that the Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to f*** with?
Wait, I know this. I was in high school, probably at least 15 or 16 years old, when I realized that Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to f*** with.
Oh, amen, sister, amen.
Good question, Jesse.
Well, Stacy, I can speak for Jesse and AC. You know, we really appreciate having you on today, and I guess we can all thank Lita for writing a fantastic book to get you back
nice
in the
plug,
biz.
Nice
yeah,
plug.
Thank you very much. Yeah, for sure. Check that out on your local, you know, stands, whatever. But so yeah, from us, thanks for coming on, and you know, good luck in I guess the next 6 weeks.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Stacy Shadows here on Grapple Talk, historic episode. We'll be right back with Wrestler's Perspective. Right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Why is Vic's office in the men's room?
Hey, I gotta go.
Can anybody answer this question?
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Remember, kids, always wash your hands after going to the bathroom.
Wow, that was a fantastic interview there with Stacy Shadows. We got to thank her for opening up here on Grapple Talk. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what's further down the road for her.
Right, she's had some phenomenal insight. We've had a lot of spot in the squared circles, and I really think that some of her her insight, her information blew me away a little bit. And very thankful to have her on. But speaking of insight, there's one segment we have every single week that happens to be one of my favorite, and hopefully it's listeners' favorite too.
It's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
Haven't won an award yet. I feel like we might be winning an award soon. And this is actually going to be a pretty interesting question, AC Riley, because we had Stacy Shadows on today. She likes beating up dudes. Got to know, AC Riley, you've never had a match against a woman wrestler.
No, I have not.
Would you ever beat up a woman in the ring?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I've never really thought that I would have to, have that question ever brought up or that match ever happen. But you know what? I'm going to quote Stacy Shadows, where she was asked to be in, she wanted to get put in a match. And they said, the only way you could have a match is if you wrestle a guy. Perfect. Sign me up. I would probably say that if it really boiled down to having a match or not, and it was against a woman, I wouldn't really have any pride because, I mean, we've seen a lot of females.
You wouldn't have any pride?
Well, pride in the sense you just
on women wrestling by saying that.
No, I didn't mean to say pride. I meant to be, a misogynist where it's like where I can't wrestle a woman because she's a woman. I would say that we've seen a lot of, tough female wrestlers. So I would know that, it would be kind of a game changer. So that being said, I'd be all for it.
You got something?
Actually,
here?
I figured out his nickname.
What's that?
He's a He-Man Woman Hater, AC Riley.
He-Man Woman Hater.
Oh, really? One comment gets me a nickname?
Just like that. We're writing it down. I'm going to write it down really quick. But seriously, though, I got to know. I'm not trying to be sexist or anything, but I got to know just, I guess, being in the ring, like Stacy Shadows. I specifically remember from that Chase McCoy and Stacy Shadows match, they had those, these forearm freaking shots back and forth at one point. I got to know, would that be hard for you to kind of, standing a foot away from a woman wrestler and giving her hard forearms and knock her off her feet? Like, would that be difficult for you to do?
It'd be difficult, no doubt about it. But, I mean, if she rebounded and hit me just as hard, then I'm like, all right, I don't feel bad anymore.
Fair enough. Well, fair enough. I mean, we're looking at this situation with indie wrestling, and one of the big things that's really on the rise is intergender tag matches. I mean, so, AC Riley, you could open up a new career path for you if it doesn't work out with J.J. Ryan and Youth Gone Wild.
That's very true. That's very true.
Talking to you sometimes, it almost sounds like you guys are an intergender tag team because, that's just going to,
What do you mean by that?
That's just kind of, I've heard some stuff about you, and I mean, that's just a weird thing to deal with, so.
So we got to ask then. So what woman would you like to wrestle?
That's a really good question. I really don't know. There's too many good competition out there.
Wow, that's such a political
answer. There a certain woman wrestler you want to see AC Riley take on?
Yeah, Stacy Shadows, because, man, she would probably knock you on your ass. I think it'd be funny.
You really want me to get knocked out, don't you?
Or Melanie Cruz, because she's bigger than you.
Or maybe Melanie Cruz's mentor, Annie Social.
Well, maybe that'd be work, too.
Yeah, she beat the living out of you.
Wow, you guys just always love to see me get knocked out, don't you?
Well, come on, you're the He-Man woman hater. I don't know why you hate women so much.
Yeah, I don't know why you do either, but man, you need to take a licking. That's all I know.
I don't think he's going to keep on ticking after that, though.
Jesse, we should book a show. Me and you, start a show up just so we can have a gauntlet match where AC Riley takes on all three of those women competitors.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Imagine, his he's out there. He's all like, yeah, I can beat up any person in the back.
I'm not going to say
that. And here comes one woman. Right. He gets by and scrapes his
thing. Right, yeah.
Out comes the next one. And out comes the next one. And out comes the next one. And all of a sudden, this guy is like in hog heaven. He can't believe it. Somehow he's just cheating his way through.
Talk about earning a nickname. There you go. That's how exactly you earn the nickname. We wouldn't even need to make it up on this show. You'd have your own nickname right there.
I can see it in lights already. The He-Man woman hater takes on the female race.
So many people are going to hear this and are like, wow, AC Riley's just a dick.
But how many people have that gimmick?
No,
the He-Man woman hater.
I don't really think there's that many people, Come
That's
on.
What I'm saying. You'd be unique. You'd be probably in the newspaper. I don't know if Oprah would give you a call to be on her show because you'd be kind of sexist to do so. But I think it would work out really well for you.
I mean, historically, if you think about it,
that's what
historically, you got to think about it. One of the best gimmicks of all time was Andy Kaufman's intergender heavyweight champion. He just beat up women. That's all he did. And he was a skinny little runt from Hollywood,
right.
California.
People would hate you.
So. I realize that.
All right. Well, okay, guys. Well, I'm glad we finally got AC Riley's answer to that question. I mean, it's been burning on us for about 31 episodes.
Oh, I've wanted to know so bad.
But, folks, this week on Tape Study, I had to break the mold a little bit. Because I know how much you guys love Tape Study, and we've been going back in time. We've been visiting Minnesota independent wrestling, Wisconsin independent wrestling, some from Illinois. But this time, guys, we have to go across the pond. Yes,
the pond. Right.
The pond. Yes, we're going to cross the pond over to the UK.
Okay.
Progress Wrestling ended up just releasing one of their latest shows for free on YouTube. You got to check it out. It's Progress Chapter 13, Unbelievable Jeff. Now, you guys might know Progress Wrestling based on one of the biggest stars they have, and that's Prince Devitt.
Yep.
Okay, now, folks, if you're not really familiar with that style, it's very much a strong style, punk rock infused type of wrestling, and it's absolutely bonkers. It's amazing. They got it was really cool thing. What they did was they started like a Kickstarter type of fund for their new mat, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it was kind of cool because they love their fans so much, they put the names of the fans who donated the money on the mat.
No way.
That is really cool. You don't really see that often from other places. There's a lot of really good matches on this card. One of them was a four-way tag match. It had the team of the London Riots, Project Ego, the Swords of Essex, and probably my new favorite tag team, Screw Indie Wrestling. These guys are probably the best heels I've seen in a tag team situation in a long time.
Really?
Another really good match was El Ligro versus Tommy N. Now, Tommy N's really interesting character. He's from the Netherlands, and he's a hybrid cross, like a kickboxer.
Mm-hmm.
He's very solid with his feet, and tell you the truth, I want to see him against Nick Colucci, because Nick Colucci would fit in with this whole company. Hands down, bottom line.
Let's talk. I actually want to talk about Progress Wrestling since you watch the show, and I'm sure you know a little bit more about them than me or AC Riley does. But does it seem like a lot of those guys are from Europe, somewhere in Europe, or is it kind of a mixed bunch from all around? They just have that kind of same style.
A lot of them are actually from Europe, and it's kind of cool because the shooter style that came from England really kind of. I've kind of filtered into Japan rather early when how they were developing their style pro wrestling over there. Because Japan went through a couple different stages. They had a stage that was very much based on American wrestling from the 40s and 50s, especially after post-World War II. Then once the British started coming over, especially during occupation, they started bringing that shooter style over. So it's very stiff, very crisp. It looks very realistic. And they've kind of kept that sort of sports mentality to it. Now, it's kind of weird, though, because now in England, they're kind of getting some of that filtration back from Japan and Mexico, where it's very much more a light heavyweight style now. You see a lot more dives, a lot more head scissors, stuff like that. So it's kind of weird to see the cross-pollination of styles these days.
So I know you talked about that tag match. I got to know, just to save time, if there is one, is that the one match, or is there another match on there that you need to see if you don't have the time to watch the whole show?
I'm going to say... It's going to be Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Prince Devitt. That match was amazing.
What was his persona that time? Because we've seen a lot of personas.
This was the Joker persona.
I love that one.
And it was actually kind of cool because he really lives the character once he comes out. He's definitely very unpredictable. Evan, after a little bit, he gets into his whole shtick with Prince Devitt. It works wonders, folks. If you get a chance, we're going to pop it on our Facebook and on the Twitter. Make sure you get to check it out because... I would have to say the crowning jewels of European wrestling, you're going to see it for free, and you're not going to miss it.
And it's Progress Wrestling.
Progress Wrestling, Chapter 13, Unbelievable Jeff.
Bloody brilliant. Kind of, Unbelievable Jeff?
Unbelievable Jeff was the name of the show, yes.
that's interesting. Well, that's this week's Tape Study, and man, that sounds pretty cool, man. I'm actually kind of looking forward to see what Prince Devitt does, that he got signed to NXT. That should be pretty interesting.
I think the sky's the limit for this guy. He's probably one of the best European wrestlers to come on the scene in probably two generations, and that's saying a lot. It's one of those things where I'm going to put some money on it right now and say he might be, I guarantee it, the first WWE World Heavyweight Champion from the UK. I'm going to
really?
Say that much.
You think he actually might make it that far?
He's got an unbelievable look, great charisma. The guy is a workhorse, unbelievable conditioning. He's a star.
Well, him and fellow European pro wrestler Adrian Neville go toe-to-toe.
Well, yeah, definitely. That would be they've wrestled before in Japan and stole the show, so we're going to have to see what they can do in the States.
Man, just like talking to Stacy and just hearing about this just makes me so interested in wrestling overseas, especially now UK, Europe stuff. That's just, you know, it's weird how the styles change, you know, from, you know, continent to continent, area to area. I just find that so interesting. It's so unique.
Well, it's I think a lot of it is just the I would have to say the sociology of how the blending pot of the cultures work. Because, like, here in America, especially, like, going from the East Coast to the West Coast to the South to the North, there's different philosophies.
Right.
I mean, the Northeast was always a big man league. The South was very much, you know, smaller guys, scrappier guys and stuff like that. You go to Japan, it's stiffer. You go to Mexico, it's very more entertainment-based.
Right.
That's the beautiful thing about the art form. It could take on whatever form you really want it to.
Right. It's almost like there is a different kind for, you know, every single person. It's not like there has to be this one, you know, like, hey, this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to enjoy what you want to enjoy more.
Well, it's just like film, you know, you have like the French New Wave or the spaghetti westerns from Italy. They bring so much different things to it that you're going to get a product that you never imagined that you could have witnessed before.
Right. Well, that's been it for Gravel Talk this week. Make sure you check out our social networking sites, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk, and you can follow us on Twitter @TheGrappleTalk. Often we'll post upcoming shows and information on indie wrestling. You don't want to miss that. And, yeah, great show today, guys. Episode number 31, man. We are 31 years old. That's weird.
Oh, we're not we're like 31 episodes.
Yeah, I know.
We're 31 weeks old.
Yeah, I screwed that up. So that's
we're almost a year.
Almost a year. Yeah. Okay. Well, enough of that. We'll catch you guys next week. You don't want to miss out. We have actually our lineup for our spot in the squared circle. I think we still have two people signed up for the next couple of weeks. Is that right? We have three. So, you know, make sure you check out the Facebook, as we said, to keep up to date with all the latest on the independent wrestling scene. And thank you very much for Jesse Von Rudin and AC Riley. I'm Nick Ragner. We'll catch you guys next week right here on Grapple Talk. And next week on Grapple Talk, we are sitting down with Roadhouse, James Vincent. And he's going to be on our spotlight squared circle.
Should be interesting to talk with him because, I mean, we saw him a while ago as the Polish Hammer. It was really
Giannis.
It was a very interesting persona to see him, and now we're seeing him as completely different personas, night and day between the two. So it should be interesting to talk with him and pick his brain a little bit.
Well, even though it might be night or day, you can check out our podcast anytime you want to, right?
Nice.
Hey, it's night and day. You can check us out on iTunes. Just search Gravel Talk. Or, hey, hit up the Podbean account. Just go to Podbean, search Gravel Talk. We will be like one or two. Regardless, you're going to find us eventually anyways, so spend the time to do that. Or you can always check us out on social media. AC Riley, what do they got to search?
It's really tough. All you got to do is do The Gravel Talk, Facebook or Twitter.
Hey, it's that easy. Catch you guys next week.
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk.
Black Hole Sun, won't you come?
And come to Freelance Productions presents The Rebellion.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
What is the ideal ticket price to get you guys in?
You know, I honestly, if it's $5, I will come. If I'm...
Thanks for joining Grapple Talk all summer long.